we'll see how it goes. Yep.
Was told earlier that there's a blue Honda out front with their lights on. If anybody knows what that is and you want to go out and turn them off. Thank you. All right, I'll call the meeting to order. This is actually the February meeting of the CCSD Board of Directors that we postponed to this date, March 6th. So I'll welcome everyone, and if you would please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, that would be great. District Clerk, we have, of course, a quorum. Everyone is here. Could we have a report from closed session, if there is?
At the previous regular meeting, we discussed those items listed on that agenda in closed session, and at that time, we were not given any final direction, nor did we approve any final contracts that required any report from that session at this time.
Okay, thank you very much. The next agenda item is agenda review. Anybody have any changes they want to make on the agenda? Pull any items? No?
I'd like to have item 7B as in boy.
Of course, it's something that makes us feel a little bit sad because this is the day Don Villeneuve has decided to go off and live his life in a way without us. To do that, we have prepared a proclamation for him, and I'd like to read that. And I know that there are a number of you in the audience who have come today just for this particular reason. Some of you have filled out forms, and if you haven't, it's all right. I'll just allow time for it or ask you to come up afterwards, okay? And when at the end of this, we're going to take a break, and as you can see, there's some light refreshments, I guess that's the correct term Connie always uses, in the other room. So we'll take a break, and we'll be able to celebrate with Don. So first I'd like to, Don, if I may, read this to you. I decided I would just sit here, and I hope that's okay with everyone. When we go up to the podium, we have our back to one group or another, and we decided this was the way to do it. So, Don, I know you're just very comfortable sitting here right now. So we'll try to make this as comfortable as possible. But as you know, we're all we have great regard for you. So this is what the proclamation will say. This is a proclamation for Donald Villeneuve, Ph.D., March 6th, 2008. I always say those wrong. Whereas on November 5th, 1996, Director Villeneuve was first elected to the Cambria Community Services Board and was then reelected November 2nd, 2000, and then again on November 2nd, 2004, to the present. And whereas Don's professional career includes 30 years as college professor and administrator with a master's degree in zoology and a master's degree and PhD in anthropology, and whereas he located to Cambria from Ventura in 1999, he served on the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, and prior to that, the California Coastal Commission. He was one of the pioneers of that. We wish he were still there, actually. Whereas, in his role as CCSD director, he was a member of the Water Reuse Association, the California Special District Association, an executive board of the Tri-Counties Fish Team, on the San Luis Obispo County Salamoid Coalition, and served as the Association of California Water Agency Region 5 representative for the district. He is the founding president of the Friends of the Ranchland, the Cambria nonprofit that spent countless hours lobbying various government agencies to stop the development that would have destroyed forever the crown jewel of the Middle Kingdom. I believe those are your terms, aren't they? Whereas the founders and other dedicated members of Friends of the Ranch Land worked diligently to procure financial support from conservation agencies and raise community awareness regarding the benefits of preserving the ranch. And whereas these efforts resulted in the 2000 purchase of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve, which will forever be held in the public domain for the enjoyment of all. And whereas Don's wealth of knowledge, enthusiastic energy, and time attending conferences in policymaking, conservation, water law, desalination technology to promote public awareness and commitment to water conservation and water reuse to his community attests to his wisdom, dedication, and commitment to raise community awareness to be part of the solution to Cambria's challenges. And whereas Director Villeneuve is resigning his term of office effective today, March 6, 2006, and now therefore by the virtue of the authority invested in me as the president of the entire board, on behalf of the entire board, the district staff and all Cambrians, on this day, March 6th, I hereby present to Director Villeneuve this proclamation of public recognition, extending to him our deep appreciation for his distinguished service and best wishes for continued success in all his endeavors. I got it. Did it. There you are, Don.
Congratulations, Don.
Want to come a little closer and Kathy will take our pictures?
Well,
okay. A group picture. Got to have the photo op.
Yeah, might as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know there are a number of people in the audience, Don, that want to address you. So if you would just relax a minute, we'll call them up. The first one is Jerry Levitz. Thank you.
Did you say that he has a PhD in physical anthropology from UCLA? Okay.
I didn't say that.
Okay. Well, you did. I have him down here with the Coastal Commission. What's that?
You one-upped us on that one.
Oh, I got one up on you? All right. Now we go from there. Now, you did say he's on the Ventura City Planning Commission, of course. He was a city councilman for 4 years. But I got you now. You didn't say that he was a deputy mayor for 2 years, from 1989 to 1991. So I got you there. He was the founder, though, the founder and member of the Tri-County Fish Team. Now, I don't know if that means they all get out there and fish together, but he did help save the steelhead trout for our community. So, Don, you have given your complete adult life for community service. But you're not completely dumb in this respect. You did marry Marilyn in 1949, and you have 58 years of marriage. And for that, I congratulate you. So, Don, I'd like to be the first one to congratulate you. In fact, I called Jonas, and I want to be first, because we're all going to say the same thing, but she stole my thunder. So, Don, anyhow, thanks for many years of service. You've been a great help to this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. The next speaker is Joyce Renshaw.
Madam Chair and the Board of Directors, I would like to say thank you so much, Don, for all the work that you did to preserve the ranch land and the ranch, the Fiscalini Ranch, for us. I love it when I see you on one of our docent walks. It's terrific. And as a friend, I'd like to say we're going to miss you here, but of course I'll be seeing you at the farmer's market, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank Thank you, Joyce. And the next is an old colleague, Ken Toppings. Came up from some...
citizenry, and there was a great deal of conflict at the time. And Don had just taken over as president of the board, as a member of three new members of the board. And I think it's important for all of us to recall those of us who were involved with district affairs during those years, the steady hand with which Don helped the board get through those troubled waters. There are many qualities of leader. Sorry, man. Leadership. And I think Don exercised a very special quality of leadership during that troubled time. And I was personally grateful, doing what I was doing at the time, of course. But I remember just one funny story. He had a gavel, and somebody who was very unhappy was talking and talking and talking. And I saw Don raising his gavel, and he looked over at me, and I went like this. And Don put his gavel down slowly.
The leader.
That's a true quality of leadership. He knew to let the person say what they had on their mind. Don also brought a lot of ideas and professionalism to the board, and I think the community has really been better off for his many, many useful ideas, many of which were kind of under the radar screen and brought in kind of sideways and unpretentiously. And so humility is another quality that I think we all treasure him for.
Yes.
And finally, I'd like to thank on behalf of, these are all comments on behalf of my wife, Phil Topping, and myself, thank him for his service not only to the community but also to the region and the state, Regional Water Quality Control Board and various state matters. I think Don was very influential in helping people think bigger than themselves and bigger than their own narrow interests. And for that, we all wish him a
Okay.
I think you look beautiful.
That's an extravagant statement. Anyway, I'd like to say that I'm very pleased to be here. I'm enjoying this much more than the very first time I came to a CCSD meeting. And some of you remember I used to come to a lot of them, but I've been more fortunate lately. Anyway, the first meeting I came to was in 1988, and I'd only been in town as a permanent resident for a short time. And I wasn't sure what was going on, but I had read the Cambrian from my home base, which at that time was in Glendora, California. And I knew that there was something that the initials were C and T, and maybe some of you still remember that. It was actually the CT Ranch Project, and I had some ideas on it. I probably had too many ideas from time to time, but I could not resist it, and so I walked from the back of the room, just like I did this time, to the front of the room, and I said something which I felt was correct to say about the CT Ranch. I wasn't particularly enamored with the project. They were going to get 300 acre feet of what I would call our water, and that didn't set well with me too much. But anyway, after I finished speaking, not being too aware of what was going on in the room, I walked back. The aisle was at the center. I think later on, to try to stop this, the aisle was changed to another place. But having it back in the center, I think, is a good idea, because as I walked back, the people on, I think it was this side of the room, is that right? Were all smiling at me. And the people on this side of the room were all frowning at me. And some of them on this side of the room, as I walked back, they even took their hand out to shake my hand. I thought, this is really interesting, isn't it? Well, anyway, we don't want to go into those things. But I do want to say that Don arrived in Cambria, as I think you've heard, in 1994. And this was just in time because in 1993, we had formed the Friends of the Ranchland. We didn't have a name in 1993. We called ourselves the East West Ranch. It wasn't technical. I've got it written down here because I know I'd forget it. Where is it? Analytical Committee. Sounded pretty good, didn't it? East West Ranch Analytical Committee. And at this time, it was a fearsome time, really, because there was a fearsome project that was afoot. And I looked through some old minutes. Actually, I'm not really pleased to say this, but I've been secretary of the Analytical Committee and the Friends of the Ranchland from then till now. And so I looked up some old minutes, a la Carmel Mission, 2,500 square feet of commercial, an outdoor-indoor restaurant to be a center for the community, European components. I didn't understand all this stuff, but that's what they were saying at their East-West Ranch meeting that we attended. Bike paths, hidden alleyways, surprises, communal parks, low-scale rapid transit, perhaps a theater. They would need more than 250 homeowners to support the desired commercial, maybe 350 or more. And they would present a plan, they hadn't done it yet, for downtown Cambria, along with the East Ranch proposal when it was time for that. They wanted to fix our downtown area. Gavin says they don't have a development plan yet, but the community will create a plan. We will all work together on this per Gavin. Fortunately, we didn't all work together on it. And you've heard one of the early statements that was made, the East-West Ranch, the Friends of the Ranchland, we said the East-West Ranch is the crown jewel of Cambria. I just liked the ring of that, and I was glad to hear somebody say that just a few minutes ago. I heard the developer say it. I don't know whether it was Gavin or one of his other folks there, and he said, the East-West Ranch is the center of the donut for Cambria. And I thought, I like the crown jewel idea much better. And besides, a donut is too consumable, and let's not consume our East-West Ranch if we don't have to. Anyway, in the following year, this was December 1993 when these minutes came from, in the following year, Don rode into town, right, Don? 1994. And somehow we Friends of the Ranchlanders quickly found him. And I think to his great surprise, Don was our new president. You might say, Don to the rescue. And we did need a new president anyway, and we somehow got him to do it. He was too naive at that time, and he agreed right away. So anyway, we visualized the crown jewel, the developer saw the donut, and how was it going to come out? Well, so how did we keep this lovely crown jewel, I'll call it? Well, surprisingly, and you know this, but in the summer of 1998, Friends of the Ranchland members decided to attempt to purchase this ranch. I thought that was pretty amazing, and I was going to say in that meeting, we can't do it, but luckily I kept my mouth shut, and of course, the American Land Conservancy came into the picture, and they ran it, and in a few years with lots of work, we did purchase the ranch. And what about Don? As a working member and president of you for being susceptible to what some of us ask you to do. Now, I've got one more conclusion that it's not exactly germane, but in a way it is, and I even said it on my shirt. Hundreds of houses that might have been built on the East-West Ranch are not there. And, of course, what this does is a lot of build-out reduction. And I dearly hope that this build-out reduction will continue to happen with our trusty CCSD as leader. So I want to thank everybody, including Don. And thanks for giving me. How many extra minutes did I get?
Yeah, quite a few. I'm not going to tell you. Thank you, Bob. All right, we've started suspending the three-minute rule, but Joellen Butler is next.
Good afternoon, Chairman Coben, Chair Coben and Board. My name is Joellen Butler, Cambria. And I'm Executive Director of Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve. On behalf of Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Don Villeneuve for his years of service to the community and his service in protection of the ranch for generations to come. Don's years as a defender of the ranch far exceed the number of years that he served on the CCSD board. I first met him as a board member of Friends of the Ranch Land, where he was a prime mover in the effort to save the ranch. And Don and I have a little secret, and that is that probably because he was a newcomer to town, when I was arrested for trespassing on the ranch, poor Don got talked into sharing a bank account with me for my defense. And, you know, no, we never told anybody about this, but we talked him into it, among other things. He fought tirelessly alongside the other FLR members through county planning, the Board of Supervisors, and Coastal Commission meetings. He also helped us when the time came to raise funds for the purchase of the ranch. His service to the community has been outstanding. Thank you, Don. We'll always be in your debt. And I hope to see you lots in the times to come.
Who knows? A mystery. Is there anyone else that would please come on up? Oops. Maybe.
Is somebody else on?
Okay, that's
all
right.
My name's Clive Finchap.
Okay, Clive.
And I've been riding bicycles.
Three minutes.
Okay. I've been riding bicycles with Don for a long, long time. And the term that comes to mind when I think of Don is courtly. My dad, who was a pro-British empire loyalist, used to say, Clive, one of the most important things you'll remember in your life is to be a gentleman. And Don exemplified all of those courtly, gentlemanly characteristics. He was nice to women. He was kind. He always gave everybody the chance to speak. And we had a wonderful dialogue when we rode our bikes together out to San Simeon. And I'll miss you. I hope you keep riding as long as you possibly can, because I enjoyed every minute with you and Peter. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Clive.
Good afternoon. I'm Jess Bathke from Cambria. This is Bruce Marchese from Cambria. He's my mouthpiece.
Your alter ego coming up.
I've been in Cambria long enough to have voted for Don when he first ran for CCSD. And I voted for him primarily because I thought he would bring a reasoned stability to our board. And I'm happy to say he's done that. And I, for one, appreciate that, Don. But most of us in the audience don't get a chance to see you people up there outside your public persona. But I finally got a chance to know Don through Saturdays at the softball field when Cy Green organized a group of people he called the geezers to play softball every Saturday afternoon. And Bruce was there, and Joe Hilden, and a number of other people. Now, Don wasn't necessarily the best ball player out there. But he gave it all he had, and that's about all you can expect. And Don, it was fun to play ball with you, and I appreciate your service, and whatever you do in the future, I wish you good luck. And keep in mind the words of the famous philosopher Yogi Berra.
Step back for you. You're a great player. Yeah. And we had a lot of fun, and I want to wish you the very best in the future. And if I had that ball with me that hit you in the head that one day, I would have autographed it and given it to you, but I don't have it anymore. But seriously, Don, you're a friend, and most of all, on and off the field, you're a gentleman. Thank you very much for knowing you.
Thank you, Bruce.
My name's Greg Haas. I'm with Congresswoman Lois Kapp's office, and I just got word that this event was going on today, and
how
wanted to be sure I could make it up here.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to add some words. I've worked with Don since I've been at the office for a little over 8 years. issues concerning the federal government and the Congresswoman's office and the Cambria CSD, as well as some other issues on the coast. And just wanted to be sure that everybody knew that Don's work and effort with our office and with other federal agencies has been invaluable as far as moving some projects forward and getting help and assistance for Cambria. And a lot of that stuff happens behind the scenes. It's not in a newspaper. It's not out there in the public. It's not here in a public forum, but it does happen. It's over phone calls. We've had lots of long conversations on the phone, and his help has been invaluable in just providing us with ideas, leadership, and letting us know what the community is saying and what they desire. And I just wanted to, on behalf of the Congresswoman, acknowledge that Don's great service to this community. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. We all appreciate your coming up here and speaking to Don. And we have one more person.
My name is Don Cook. My wife, Caroline, and I are here from Ventura. I think I probably have the distinction of having known Don longer than anybody here, with the exception of Marilyn and his daughter, Karen, who is also here. I first met Don and Mary brought to everything he's ever done. Certainly people at Ventura College remember him with fondness. And, of course, others have mentioned his service on the city council at Ventura. I would just like to say that I hope that I can represent people from Ventura College and from the city of Ventura at large. I bring their very best wishes, and I know that Don and Marilyn have many things left to do here in this community. And congratulations to Don, and we're just so pleased to hear all the many, many good things that have been said about him. I sort of have to think, well, Cambria's gain was Ventura's loss. I'm sure that had he stayed in Ventura, he would have done a lot of things there too. Anyway, congratulations, Don, and everybody from down south feels the same way. Thank you.
Thank you. And our last speaker is Joan Glassy, has appeared from wherever she was hiding before.
Where is Don? There's Don. He may not realize it, but he and Marilyn were the ambassadors for me. When I first moved to Cambria almost 10 years ago, they were the couple that I had been given their name and phone number to contact if I wanted to get acquainted, and so I consider him the ambassador for me to Cambria. And who were the people that recommended them? Well, you know, Coachella Valley Union High School, and Laura and Jess Sherritt were the ones that recommended. And so that goes way back, and they are my friends too. And so they did a wonderful thing by giving me the opportunity to get acquainted with Cambria, which has been almost 10 years, and it's been a great time, and we've seen many changes, and I've learned quite a bit from you and from everyone else. So it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I just want to, anything, or you want to just smile a lot?
Well, I'll make it short. In fact, I'm totally overwhelmed. Well, I didn't write this. Yeah, I just picked it up. My wife did. Yeah, so I have to give her credit. But I do want to thank all of the constituents that I've tried to represent, and I think I had some success at that. For voting me into office three times, and I want to tell you that the third time was not a charm exactly, but I was almost ready, and I stated, not publicly, but to friends, that two times was enough. But certain things prevailed me to change my mind, because I thought that we got some chance to get some real work going with a board that has been very, 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 I think I really have appreciated my tenure of office in this with this board, because I've been in a lot of other situations like this, and boards are, there's always somebody that's a maverick or somebody with a hidden agenda or something like that. But this last 3 years has been, I think, the most productive, that because this particular board have really honored their position, and have been very, very, very coherent, I guess is true. So I'm not going to be a real loss, because I'm certain there's other people will be selected on this post. But I really feel honored and overwhelmed by this turnout, and I didn't even think of writing something down.
If you would join Don and Marilyn and all of us in the next room for some, looks like chocolate cake and else. I'm sorry I didn't ask other board members if they wanted to say something. You okay?
Don?
Just hold on a minute for the chocolate cake. I'm sorry.
Five words. It was an honor and pleasure. Thank you.
Ditto.
I said my comments regarding Don at the last meeting. I'll just very quickly reiterate. It's been a real pleasure serving with you, Don. You've been a great mentor, and we're going to miss you.
So there you go, role model. You're off to your chocolate cake party, and those of us up here need to be back here in 15 minutes. The rest of you can stay and enjoy the cake as long as you like. Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, Peter.
Okay, well, I've known Don, I guess, the longest. And I think the first, he was introduced to Cambria by a photograph showing him in a militant position outside the fence of the East West Ranch. And Don has come through. He takes a position and he follows through, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
We'll call the meeting back to order again. Well, like so many things in life, you one thing comes to an end, something else begins. If we could have a little quiet, all the partygoers, please move to the next room. Those of us who want to get on with the real work. So the next agenda item, General Manager, would you set that up for us, please?
Yes, it's item four, and that's the appointment of a director to serve the term of the former Director Don Villeneuve, his unexpired term until the November 2008 election. And just as a brief background, because I can't remember if I put in a staff report, but the interview...
Last Friday. What day? Monday. Oh, man. It was... really a gratifying experience having so many applicants and so many people that are willing to come up, come forward and serve. And it was not only a learning experience for us all, it was rather entertaining as well. We all had a good time. So here we are today. Now our job then will be to decide which one of the five really nice, excellent candidates will sit in this chair. So the process, I believe, is that we need to make a motion and get a vote, majority vote for one candidate.
And for the public's information, with regard to the applicants' names, they are Clive Finchamp, and this is no particular order, by the way, I'm just going through my package from the other night, Steve Niffen, Jim Reagan, Merle Clift, and Valerie Bentz. Those are your five applicants.
Okay.
Madam Chair, first of all, my apologies. I think I'm getting the second wave of a bug that corrupted me about a week and a half ago. So we'll try and get through this meeting today without fainting or doing something really stupid.
Don't do that. I lost all my emergency room skills.
I think you stated very well the good fortune that we have, not only the board but the entire community, in having some very qualified people step forward and temporarily take leave of their senses and volunteer to serve on this board. It is a very difficult job, and as someone once asked me, how much time do you put in? And the real truth is it's a 24/7 kind of job, because you're always thinking about the issues, whether or not the policies are being implemented, how the staff is doing, what the temperature of the community is on issues, the whole complicated process of getting infrastructure projects approved and permitted and so forth. So it's a sometimes daunting task. Back to the task at hand, we do have five. What impresses me about one applicant in particular is the breadth of experience. And I think experience counts for a lot when it comes to serving on this board. It's, as I say, a very difficult job. So with that, I am going to move that we appoint Merle Clift to the board.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second to that?
Can I tell you why I'm not going to second it?
Yes. I think we'll have a chance for each person to say what they want to say. Go ahead. Thank you for your motion, Director Kalandris.
Everything Greg says I agree with. Merle Clift is does have tremendous experience, and he's continues to serve this town, and he will be he's a great addition to this town. But this is not about experience, because frankly I think all five candidates have a tremendous level of experience. So I couldn't really place one over the other simply because one perhaps has 100 hours of experience as opposed to 95 or something like that, because each one of our candidates is obviously an extraordinarily giving person with their time. So I couldn't really draw a difference on that score. Where I drew the difference, I couldn't draw a difference in intelligence. I felt all five were highly intelligent, extraordinarily intelligent. So I couldn't really draw a difference between that. I'll tell you where I drew the biggest difference. and that's love for the community. And each one of those candidates loves the community. There's no question about it. But there's one thing when you love a person for 11 years or 5 years, it's not any cheaper than if you love a person. Spoke before us at the meeting, I was in awe because the love for this town just came out from every pore. Here's a man who doesn't want to leave the town even for vacations. Both of his children were born here. I don't recall the last time we had anyone on the board who was actually a businessman who earned his living in this town. I know Joan is retired and Peter's retired, but Greg and I both earn our income outside of this town primarily. My office is in San Luis, and Greg's, of course, is in outside the county, although he does have a home office. But in terms of full-time commercial commitment to this town, that's something Mr. Cliff doesn't have. His office is in Morro Bay, and he works 8 to 10 hours a week on that. And there's something to be said for people who commit to earning a living in Cambria, like real estate brokers, like people in the restaurant business, like service people, transportation people. They get a perspective that, frankly, I think has been missing on this board for many, many years. So I agree with Greg. Very difficult decision, because any one of these people would make a fine addition to this board. But to get someone like Steve Niffen, who has a love affair, and I know will treat Cambria as if it were a child of his, we can't ask for anything better than that. So that's my motion.
Sorry. Would you like to make your words, say any words? Or
I don't think I can support the motion.
Okay.
So
I'm sorry. Just let's get, we're each going to have some speech.
All right.
Time to
okay.
say what you want.
All right. Well, I think what is quite significant from our interviews the other night is that two of the candidates are quite actively involved with the youth of this town. I think that's excellent. They give her their time for either sports or in the classroom. Another two of our candidates work with the adult education, one at Poly, I think, and I'm not sure, and the other one is at Santa Barbara. So they're involved in adult education, and then we have the service clubs represented as well, so it's a tremendous cross-section we're dealing with. One of the candidates said he's ready to run in November, and we appreciate that. We hope he does, because I think that's we need people who are active in the community and of good quality to run. So. Hey, that's my statement.
Thank you. Okay, folks, a conundrum exists. Legal counsel. What do we actually need to make this happen here today?
All you have to do is listen to me.
No, well, applause from the rear.
It would require three votes to appoint anyone today or any time. You have 60 days from today to make that appointment. If not, it goes to the Board of Supervisors. If they don't act, then it will probably go to the next election.
May I ask a question? Can we talk about this in closed session?
No. So... if I understand correctly... Director Sanders made a motion that wasn't seconded. Director Funky Ballou made a motion that wasn't seconded. Director Chaldicott, I believe, I'm not sure if that was a motion, but I assume it was, and I don't know if there was a second to that. You can, as board president, ask for any further motions based on the success of those and see what happens. See if you can get a consensus or a majority.
Here we go. Do we have any other motions than the three that were made?
Well, I'd like to propose my motion for Mr. Reagan.
Well, I would second that just to get this thing going. Any further discussion on that or any?
Call for the question.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All oppose?
Okay. I'm voting no, not because Mr. Reagan isn't exceptionally qualified, but maybe this deserves to be put over until the next meeting.
All right. Can we discuss that?
You can always discuss during the discussion of the item whether to continue it or not, and if that's the consensus, it can be put on the next meeting.
Or we can make further motions, right?
That's correct.
Can they try the same motion they had before? Try that again?
There's nothing to preclude you from making the same motion again.
That's sort of what, you know, what do you say after that?
swear him in.
Yeah. Merle, would you come forward, please, if I'm not sure everyone has a chance to meet you. We'll stand there just a second. Are you prepared to function as a board member today?
Yes, I am.
All right, then. Is it all with everyone? We have the district clerk give him the oath of office.
She is prepared to do that. And while she's walking up to do that at the podium, I'll announce for the board and for the public that we will do an orientation or be prepared to do an orientation of the CCSD, which is a practice that we've done before with Merle. We'll set up an appointment and do that at the district offices where we go through some policies and have him be familiar with the processes and calendar all the meetings and all that stuff so that he's prepared. Okay, go ahead, Kathy. Sorry.
Put the mic here and hope you can all hear. I, Merle Clift.
I, Merle Clift.
I'm sorry. Raise your right hand. I, Merle Clift.
I, Merle Clift.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Upon which I'm about to enter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Seated. I want to thank Jim Reagan and Clive Finchamp and Steve Niffen, Valerie Bintz. It was just a pleasure, absolute pleasure to spend the evening with them. Sorry.
No, no, we're fine, so go ahead. And
we don't do this often enough to really be skilled at it, so I hope you your patience will hold out for us. Thank you very much. What we're going to do next is skip the agenda, a couple agenda items. We had hoped to get Glenn LaJoy out of here earlier. Glenn, are you around? General Manager, may we move to the agenda item?
Yeah, so what I understand is we're going to take an item out of order. I do see the representative from the Sheriff's Department, too, in the back of the room. If he's got a report, a brief report, he wants to come forward.
Okay, well, Glenn's
and then Glenn LaJoy can get ready. We're asking a staff, in order to accommodate his travel schedule, to move item 8A under regular business, which is a status report on the Water Master Plan Environmental Impact Review, accept that right after the representative from the Sheriff's Department.
Great. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and thank you, Tammy. My name is Ben Hall. I'm Commander of the Sheriff's Coastal Patrol Division. We handle the Sheriff's Patrol from Avila Beach up to the Monterey County line. The last 6 months, we handled about 250 calls for service. We took 42 reports In comparison to last year, same period, we handled 223 calls for service and 49 reports. Because I don't get up here very often for the report for the year. In 2006, we handled 3,400 calls for service and approximately 480 reports. And this last year, we handled 2,676 calls for service, 471 reports. Now, if that means anything, it means that things are not getting worse. So that's a positive report there. Any other questions?
Board members, a question?
No.
No, but thank you very much. Right. We appreciate your coming.
Thank you, Sheriff. Could I just say that I've seen some signs of graffiti scattered, I must say, in town. Are the things that we've got to watch out for?
I understand even this last month we did, we had one graffiti case that, and it usually just takes one person to do quite a bit of damage. And we located that particular person. Actually, we had gang task force came up. We did a search warrant at the residence. He went to jail. So sometimes when we hold these people accountable, it usually takes care of the problem. And I don't believe we've had any repeats of this particular type of graffiti.
Thank you. Thanks for being patient, too, Glenn.
Hi, Glenn. It's good to see you. And thank you for waiting for our going through our celebrations and our rituals.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, President Coben, members of the board. I am very pleased to be back before you. This afternoon, I'm doing a very brief overview of an important document that is out in the community as of late last week, the Water Master Plan Program Environmental Impact Report. And what I want to present this afternoon is a brief overview of the document. It's my presentation has lots of words to it, so I want to highlight some very important factors as the community reviews the document and as the state and local agencies do the same. The public review process for the draft environmental impact report is a 45-day review period extending to April 14th. And with that, here we go. This cartoon that is up on the screen is intended to highlight where we're at in the process, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. But basically, the environmental review for the Water Master Plan began in the summer of 2004 with the issuance of the Notice of Preparation. We are currently in where the second arrow is in the chart showing the draft environmental impact report public review process. And the arrows on the bottom are intended to show that this is a public process with the agencies and the community to offer input to the environmental review process. So I'll come back to that in just a moment.
Did you frame this in a cartoon fashion so we could understand it?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
Just for you, Elon.
Okay. Lots of words over the next couple slides, but I'll, again, try to move quickly through it. I'm going to highlight the chapters of the document so that the reader can understand some of the key points. The introduction section, 1.0, is basically intended to ground this in terms of environmental compliance and what this process is all about. There was an EIR scoping process, again, in the summer of 2004. The district issued a notice of preparation in July of 2004. The document identifies the compliance requirements. The district is subject to a 45-day public review period for the draft document, at which time the district will move forward with a final environmental impact report. The Water Master Plan EIR is identified as a program-level EIR compliance document. The action that the board will take is the approval of the Water Master Plan policy document. It's important to note that this is not overall approval of all the facilities that are identified in the Water Master Plan. This is the approval, the adoption of the policy document that the district is moving ahead with the Water Master Plan as a policy. And the purpose of the EIR is that certification. So that is highlighted throughout the document to make it clear that There's no desalination approval here, environmental compliance for the desalination component. All the components have to go through their own separate project level evaluation. So I want to make that clear that the district is subject to CEQA for the policy adoption, and the program EIR fits with that compliance. The Water Master Plan EIR will serve as the master tiering document, and there's provisions of CEQA here. It's 15152, but basically, as project components begin the environmental process, the CEQA compliance process, the environmental documentation that will first be identified in terms of the review component will be the Water Master Plan EIR, and then there will be a tiering process for project level review. Okay, as I mentioned, I got a little ahead of myself on the scoping process, but again, something happened there. The scoping process was initiated in July of 2004, and it included public meetings here at the Veterans Hall. The EIR also includes, in the introduction, a description of the format of the EIR, the responsible and trustee agencies, local, regional, and state agencies that will utilize the EIR as far as their review. And also we incorporate several local jurisdiction documents into this process, county policy documents, the local coastal program documents, as well as the various water master plan reports.
Careful, there's a button on that, Merle, and you'll go flying right through the ceiling. Go out of the slide.
Glenn, while we're waiting, why don't you give us a layman's version of what comes out of this particular thing as far as the public's concerned?
As much as possible, the layperson, I'm trying to gear this part of the presentation too, but the point of the matter is that the community has the opportunity to review the environmental documentation, which is a draft document for 45 days, and to offer comments on environmental analysis, environmental conclusions. We're looking for the community, the reviewing agencies, to offer comments to further, and once we get those comments, we will further update the document and label it a final document, and then it will be presented to the board for certification.
Okay, that's good. I'm thinking in terms of the areas that the public will identify with, what areas of Cambria are going to be affected by this. Just a little bit you're coming up now, but
okay. And I will be getting to that in just
okay.
a moment.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos and staff.
Okay. Just another point of clarification. There are two documents out in the community right now. One is a thinner document, which is more user-friendly in terms of the size of the document, the amount of paper. This is the executive summary. There is a diskette that's inside the document, so that is circulating in the community, as well as this much fatter document, which is the paper weight of the CEQA compliance, basically the entire document shown in paper. And basically, this document is available at the library as well as the CCSD offices. You go to the CCSD website, the comprehensive document is on the CCSD website as well. So there's two versions that are out there, but they're both the same, one with more paper. And the executive summary basically highlights the location, the background of Hickley. The Water Master Plan is intended to serve the entire community in terms of the potable water, the facilities that are associated with the Water Master Plan. So it is community-wide. The background history section, it goes into the history of the various task reports leading to the project description. The project characteristics acknowledge in this environmental review process is seawater desalination, the recycled water system component, the water demand management component, potable water distribution system improvements. And the project description incorporates the build-out reduction program. The build-out reduction program is critical to the environmental review process. The build-out reduction program serves as mitigation to respond to growth concerns and growth issues. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But because of the importance of build-out reduction, it is incorporated within the project characteristics discussion. The project description also identifies implementation, phasing of the overall program, and the agreements and permits and approvals that are anticipated to be required for the facilities. Environmental review is not within a vacuum. The CEQA guidelines require that an environmental impact report to consider cumulative effects. Cumulative is basically identified as the North Coast area. And corresponding closely to the North Coast Area Plan and the North Coast Area Plan EIR, the document addresses cumulative considerations. And I'll get to that more in just a moment as far as what that's all about. Okay, Section 5 is the meat and potatoes of the document. It's basically the environmental analysis of the environment of the issue areas pursuant to the topical areas of the state of California. And I'm not going to get into detail about this at this point in time, but it's we look for the community, the state agencies, local agencies, to really go through a thorough review of the analysis, the conclusions, and if you have concerns or suggestions to make it a better document, we welcome that feedback. So land use, aesthetics, traffic and circulation, air quality, noise, biological resources, cultural resources. Geology and soils, hydrology, water quality, public health and safety, public service and utilities, water resources, and then population, housing. In each chapter, you'll see that the regulatory setting is presented, as well as the existing conditions, the environmental setting for each of those topical areas. There is a measurement that's utilized to identify impacts and mitigation. That's the significance criteria. So when you go through the document, you'll see these headings are common in each of the topical areas, and it's consistent throughout the document. Impacts and mitigation are addressed. Cumulative impacts, it's not just Cambria as a whole, it's the whole North Coast area, which is addressed as far as cumulative considerations. And then there's a conclusion of significance of impacts. Section 15126.6 of the CEQA guidelines require that an environmental impact report consider alternatives to the proposed action, including what is called a no-project alternative. Consistent with the Task 4 Water Master Plan report, six alternatives are presented within the alternatives review. It's not the same level of detail as the other project components that have been identified in the project description, but they are presented pursuant to the Task 4 report. And wrapping up, there's a couple other points to make. There are other chapters that are what we call back sections of the EIR, and those are basic reporting requirements of CEQA, the effects found out to be significant, inventory sections, who was contacted for the preparation of the report, the bibliography. Two chapters that are in a holding pattern until the final EIR are the mitigation monitoring program and the comments and responses. Every single written comment that is received will be responded to, and the written comment and the response will be incorporated into the final environmental impact report and presented to the board. And then there's a section for appendices. Back to this wonderful cartoon. We're moving right along through the public review process. The next steps will be to respond to comments received on the draft EIR, which will move into the final EIR, which is expected. This document will grow quite a bit with the amount of comments that are anticipated. And once that document is secure, it will be presented to this board for certification. Again, the close of the review period is April 14th 5 p.m.
Official comments can and will be received. As Glenn finished, he told everyone that Bob Gressens will be the point of contact to receive written comments. Is that correct, Glenn?
That is correct, yes.
And that we're going to have a meeting scheduled for March 27th, which will be the public hearing on this item, at which they can submit written comments or make oral comments on. Is that correct?
That is correct. There will be a public meeting to receive testimony, and it is really strongly encouraged that that meeting be an opportunity to present key considerations from the public, but to secure that your comments are fully understood and recorded, we ask that written comments be provided during the 45-day review period to so that we fully understand any issues, concerns, or factors that we need in updating the document.
And my point of this is we certainly welcome anyone to comment on anything on the agenda today, including this, but these would not be considered comments to the EIR. Those would be submitted to Bob or presented at the hearing.
Yes, that is correct.
Madam Chair, may I just add a little clarification to
yes.
Those that are trying to contact me by U.S. Postal Service should actually use P.O. Box 65.
Yeah.
That's actually our street delivery address for Federal Express and those type of packages. So I just want to make sure that the mail will come through to the Post Office Box 65. Thank you.
Thank you. And I guess, Director Chelka, you had a comment?
I just wanted to clarify the availability of the report. Do you want to reiterate?
Yes, that is online in its entirety. Each section can be downloaded individually to be viewed. We did a fairly substantial mailing of the executive summary along with the CD-ROM that contains the entire document, so that went to a number of interest parties and organizations. It has been filed with the State Clearinghouse in accordance with the CEQA regulations as well to go to the different state agencies. And we do have the full copy printout to be viewed at our office as well as the library, as Glenn mentioned earlier. And I think we have a few sections, full copies that can be purchased at the district office as well by contacting Kathy Choate.
And could you state for the record where it's available online?
Yes, certainly. Thank you. It's at CambriaCSD, all one word, .org, and that's our website. If you look at very first page.
Identified mitigating factors, and I've listed those, and those are the kinds of things that we would be expecting comments on. Am I correct, and could you say more about that?
Yes. There are two slides that presented 13 different topical areas mm-hmm. that were identified for study. For example, land use, biological resources, so forth and so on. So that is really if you look at how large the document is, most of it is addressing those topical areas as well as the alternative sections. So the reviewer has the opportunity to comment on the entire document, but the district is interested in specific comments related to the topical areas and perspective that can be offered to make it a better document right. for final production.
Okay. Thank you.
Would you say that broad brush comments are accepted, but they're not as productive as specific comments?
Thank you. That's an important clarification. The response to comment process does not... We're not looking at the merits of the project. We are looking at responding to environmental considerations. If the commenter comments, I don't like the project, or I like this or don't like that, the comment will be noted, and it will be identified that the board will consider that comment, but no further response is required. We are looking at environmental considerations pursuant to the CEQA guidelines.
So basically, we're looking to make it a better document, asking for the public comments to make it a better, clear document that sets out what our plan actually is. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Madam President, a question for both Glenn and District Counsel Art Montandon. This process, I assume, is consistent with the California Environmental Quality Act and the CEQA guidelines. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
That is correct.
And Secondly, are we satisfied that all of the requirements for preparation of an EIR up to this point have been complied with?
As the district's consultant, we are satisfied that the district has met every requirement to date through the public scoping process and the preparation and noticing of the document.
Thank you.
That's great.
No, you never really knew what was going on inside my head. I'd like to welcome Mr. Cliff to a new and exciting adventure, government. It's not a business. You don't make money, but you do have to use the taxpayers' dollars as wisely and efficiently as possible. So forget about being a business. It's not. My husband and I started the water wars in Cambria in 1980, believe it or not. And the reason it was in 1980 is because one thing I want to make really, really, really clear right now. When I refer to a CSD board, I am not referring to this one. There is no one on this board that my husband and I fought with for years. So present company excluded. When the services district was originally formed, the hydrologist that had been hired from Fresno to do the evaluation of the groundwater basins on San Simeon and Santa Rosa Creek, his official name was Kenneth Schmidt. He was affectionately known as Bull Schmidt. And he's the one who said there's a 40-year supply of water in Cambria. And when my husband and I moved home in 1979, because we left here in 53, we noticed that the lagoon at the end of San Simeon Creek was gone. And it used to cover, I'd say, probably 3 to 5 acres, and it was probably 3 to 4 feet deep. This beautiful, clear, clean estuary. So I asked my neighbor, Walter Warren, who was born in Cambria, a rancher, what happened to the lagoon? Where'd it go? And he said, well, I went down and told that district they didn't have a 40-year supply of water, and they laughed at me, and I came home and figured they'd find out. So that winter, it rained a lot. My husband got bored and spent all winter. I should tell you, he is was a research soil physicist, and that's what he did for years. He has a PhD in physics. He took all of the district's numbers, did an evaluation, and said, by golly, they don't have a 40-year supply of water. And that's when we started the water wars. People thought we were just simply no growth. We could never convince anybody. What we were saying was find an alternative, ideal, because it would have been gravity flow into Cambria, but it didn't benefit that same developer, so the board turned it down. There was the proposal for the sand dams on San Simeon Creek, which would, after the winter rains, they would catch the water and percolate into the aquifer on San Simeon Creek. But my all-time favorite was the proposed dam on Old CT Ranch. And it was going to be really wonderful for the community because there would be this dam and there would be a lake and there would be big houses built around it. But unfortunately, somebody's cattle got loose and went over where the dam was supposed to be and drank some of the water, and cattle promptly died because it was where the district had been dumping their effluent, and the soil was toxic. The water was toxic. So we've been around a long time. So when people say, well, you need another alternative, you can't have just desal, or you can't, believe me, over the years, I think every possible conceivable alternative that would be reasonable for Cambria has been looked at. And I don't live in town. In fact, I live off of that map that was up there. So I'm not going to say what the community of Cambria ought to do. But after all this time, it made me so happy to see a master water plan proposed that I had to come down and say, oh, thank you. And the one last thing I have to say to people is and it was mentioned already, to be specific. Give, if you object to something in the draft EIR, give the page number, give the section number if there is one, you know, and state why you, you know, you oppose it or you take exception to it or you like it, whatever. But be extremely specific, because, as I say, the personal characteristics of any particular board member has nothing to do with the master water plan. So we don't discuss reasonably people's personalities or the board. We discuss the issues that are in the master water plan. And with that, hallelujah and good luck.
Could I, Shirley, ask you a question? If I want you to go back, when these various proposals...
Coming and enlightening us with that, your wisdom is certainly always welcome. We have some people that have asked to speak on this issue, but I'm going to call you, but with the caveat of knowing that what we're asking for today only in comment is our technical questions. Anything that you have a comment about changing or something different or some complaint about it or anything else is not appropriate for this this day, okay? As Bob and others have laid out the time period, our next meeting will be the proper time if you want to come and make oral comment about the ER document itself. But today we're just talking about the procedure itself. So the first speaker is Elizabeth Bettenhausen. While she's walking up, did I make, is that clear the way I said it, Art?
Thank you, Madam President. I do have really just three technical questions. Is it okay to email Mr. Gressens with our responses, or must they be put in hard copy?
Okay, we'll ask you questions, and then we'll give us all you have. And then
okay,
we'll...
And the second question is, what is the cost? I didn't receive a CD in the mail, I'm sorry to say, nor the 500-plus pages, so... what would it cost, or is it free, to get a CD of the text? What would it cost, or is it free, to get a CD of the hard copy paper version of approximately, I think you're right, £6 might be about it.
It's at least a ream, yeah.
So those are my really technical questions. I have two other quick ones. There was a reference in the presentation at the very beginning to a policy document on the Water Master Plan. And I would like to hear, if possible, specifically, what is the policy document of the Water Master Plan at present? And the other question, then, is I have a technical definition question. There, in reference to the recycling component in this EIR, there's reference to recycling as a conceptual program, in quotations, and I would like to know how the testing has been done environmentally of a conceptual program. Thank you.
I would think at least two of those questions probably we could answer. The others, I believe, after you've read the document and you come back with your comments.
But. Yeah, I may have to defer to our counsel as far as the email question, because I'm not sure if that is an acceptable procedure as far as CEQA goes, and I'm going to have to defer to...
To make sure. I mean, we certainly will accept any comments is received, but that's the best way to make sure that your comment is in fact considered in the response to comments. Yes.
Thank you, Art. Also, as far as the question on the cost of the CDs, we'll research that and get that information out. I'm certain we can make an arrangement on that and figure out a reasonable cost for it to the public. But I don't know if. Glenn, if you can recall what the cost per CD might be, we can definitely get that information out on our website.
Where's Ms. Bettenhausen? You want to burn my copy? I'm sure you know people who can burn, but I'll be happy to donate my CD, and you can burn it. Just return it to me. And that would be cheap. That'd be
a question has been suggested to me to ask you, sir. Is your copy merged?
I have no idea. I haven't looked. I have the books. I'm going to use the books. So I, you know.
May I offer that, but I think it's...
Separate sections, yeah.
They can ask you after the meeting about it, if they still want it, okay?
If you wish, Madam Chair, I can answer that last question pretty quickly. There, I think the CD is set up so each section within the EIR is a separate file.
Yeah. So it's not merged.
What does merge mean?
I think they want the entire document as one file, one continuous large file. We separate it in separate sections, so each section of the report is a separate file. It's an Adobe Acrobat file for each section, as opposed to one file for the entire report.
Well, is the entire report on this CD?
Yes, it is.
I don't know what merge means.
And it's just like it is on the website. I mean, we have it up on the website, and you'll see it per section. That's pretty much how it is on that disk.
Well, if anybody wants it, I'll offer it up, as long as you get it back to me in a reasonable amount of time.
If you see Director Funky Blue after the meeting, that would be great. Glenn, you were going to add one more thing.
There were two other questions I wanted to respond to. The question of what is the policy document for the Water Master Plan. It is basically the task reports, tasks 1 through 4.
Okay.
And the recycled water component, I cannot respond to the analysis of recycled water throughout the document. We would ask the community member to review the document and offer any questions because...
I'm supposed to comment on. There's Mr. LaJoy. I don't understand what the tasks are, the Water Master Plan, and they're very complicated because I've read the entire water plan. So if I were to comment, what are the policies that I'm commenting on? And that was question number one. Question number two is, Mr. LaJoy, in the cover letter or in the executive summary...
Just address the questions here.
You state that CEQA requires a publication of notice, and there has been no publication of notice. That's question number two. And question number three that I wrote down is, after we comment and the district approves the EIR draft, which I assume you will, can we then appeal that to the Planning Department and then to the Board of Supervisors and then to the Coastal Commission? Those are my questions. And can I just add that last month I asked two questions, technical questions, which I never got an answer from Mr. Greshens on. So, but thank you.
Did you want to make...
I can talk about the appeal. Okay. The Water Master Plan is the CCSD's document. It's not a planning document that is appealable to the Planning Commission, the County, or the Coastal Commission.
I meant the EIR.
The EIR and the Water Master Plan.
Okay.
Both are just our documents. There's
okay.
No appeal to another agency.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mickey.
I have a question of her,
okay.
Madam President. What do you mean by the notice of publication?
There was no notice in the newspaper.
I think Glenn can talk specifically about that. He knows the dates and times.
The district has fully complied with the noticing requirements of the California Environmental Quality Act. The submittal to the State Clearinghouse, the logging in of the document to the state is the required requirement. And we have a copy on file at the district offices that the document was stamped in at the State Clearinghouse to officially start the 45-day public review process.
Okay.
Also, question of what the community members are commenting on. They're commenting on the environmental analysis, not the merits of the project. Mm-hmm. It basically is to, we're asking the community to review the environmental analysis and conclusions and offer perspective on that analysis.
So, again, we're trying to make the document better. The document is what it is, and it needs to be looked at by as many eyes as possible of concerned people. And
I didn't understand the focus of that. I do realize because you have in the list of all of those different elements to take into effect, but I don't... You say it's not the environmental analysis, the land use, aesthetics, et cetera, those 12, 13... points on the build out or the desal, or is it everything? I didn't understand the focus of that.
Are you asking whether you're allowed to comment on everything?
Well, what are the public comment that we have 45 days to make that take in the environmental impact on
anything that question that you can ask that will improve the document in some way to make it a better report then you're free to do that. We'll welcome you to do that.
Well, Madam Chairman, it says the CEQA is to identify the significant environmental effects and avoid those significant environmental effects and mitigate those. So Mr. Greshens is saying the build-out is a mitigation of the desal, and the desal is also a mitigation. So I'm not really sure of what particular you say review the public policy. So talk about the land use, the aesthetics, the traffic, the air quality on the policy review.
I suggest that you take the next 45 days to read it.
I have.
You read the entire thing?
Yes.
Okay, and you
have. So I guess then I'm supposed to make comments on all of these different tasks, 3 and 4, and
any part of it that you feel needs to be commented and can be improved or made more clear. Okay.
Madam President,
yes.
I've been involved in a lot of these. If you see something that could be said clearer, or something that is an error, or something that you know of that hasn't been considered in this process, those are certainly appropriate things. That's why the process is set up, to allow people to all comment and make this a better document. It should be, at the end of the day, considering any feasibly environmentally sensitive mitigation that could be imposed for these projects. It should be a document that almost anyone can come in and read and understand. Those types of things are why this process is in place, for us to be able to. We've reviewed and reviewed and reviewed and reviewed this, but we certainly don't expect that we can catch everything, and we would need the public's help to do it.
And capability. So that's what the environmental analysis is covering within this document at a program level.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charlotte. Mary Webb.
Hi, Mary Webb, Green Space, Cambria Land Trust. I normally kind of understand this process, but this one's a little more confusing to me. Some of my questions have been answered, but at this point, what you're saying is that we're going to be able to comment on this policy document, and those comments are going to be folded into a draft EIR, at which time we're going to be able to comment once again on the draft EIR. Then I'm not quite understanding how this process is working.
The CEQA and the CEQA guidelines, as you probably are aware, allows you to make comments, and we as the agency are required to respond to those comments. We can, if the comments and the information we receive in this process are significant enough, modify the document and recirculate it, but there's no guarantee that we would do that. It would have to be a significant enough change that require us to recirculate it. We certainly would if we got enough information to do that. So the process is for you to submit your comments. There'll be actually a section, I believe that's the way Glenn puts his together, which will, the comments will all be part of the EIR, and our responses to those will be in the document at the end when it's considered by the board for adoption.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Cynthia Hawley.
Cynthia Hawley, I just have a couple questions. Was the draft EIR submitted to the State Clearinghouse for review?
I doubt that the Clearinghouse ever reviews a document. I think that it's just received and it's distributed to a number of agencies that are on the list of distribution, which I believe I don't have a copy of it here, but it talks about all the agencies it's sent to. It's just a place that it's lodged.
So that's no.
That's no. Yeah, but add to that, I don't believe they ever review them.
But it was submitted.
What's the question?
Yeah.
If it was submitted to the State Clearinghouse for review.
It was submitted to the State Clearinghouse. I hear.
The State Clearinghouse doesn't review anything. The State Clearinghouse is a distribution center. They send the EIR out to all of the affected state agencies.
Water source, isn't that correct?
No. Well,
I can answer that if you wish.
You've already laid the
essentially
valve.
It's demand management for water conservation. It's recycled water for non-potable irrigation. It's seawater desalination for to augment the potable water supply, and it also covers the improvements to the water distribution system for firefighting.
Right, and that's the long-term water supply plus the potable water distribution system. But that isn't all tasks 1 through 4, so I'm just wanted to clarify that the whole water master plan is not being subjected to an environmental review at this time. Tasks 1 through 4.
It is. I'm not sure I'm understanding your question, but it's covering the areas that I just mentioned.
Right, which is the so long-term
all of the areas of the water master plan are covered in this EIR, all of them.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Jerry McKinnon has liked to make a comment. Jerry, are you still here? he turned in his slip and took a nap.
Jerry McKinnon, Cambria.
Jerry, welcome.
Yeah. I guess the reason I'm up here is because I don't hear too well. That doesn't make sense, does it? I don't know whether this question is out of order or not, but I would like to have an answer to it. It's on page 2-2, projected water demands. And the last sentence states that assuming a 50% quality of life increase over existing consumption, that's quite an assumption there that there's going to be a 50% quality of life increase. I would like to see the rationale for that.
That's what you're welcome to do, is to read the report and
supposed to be in the report. That,
if you found that in the report, that's what you can comment on, yes.
Well, it says assuming, and that doesn't lead me to conclude that the answer is there.
Okay. The last speaker is Wayne Ryburn.
Good afternoon. My name is Wayne Ryburn. I live in Cambria. I'd like to welcome Mel to the board. Good luck. I moved here in 1981, so I can't go back as far as Shirley Bianchi, but I can relate to some of these, but know that there are people in this community who don't want a new water source, don't want a water master plan, and are already talking appeals to agencies who have no jurisdiction over you. So please do that. Keep moving forward. Don't let the process bog down, and get us some water that we can use on a long-term basis, and get us a build-out reduction program so that we have a community that we'll all still be proud of. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne. Any of the board members have comments or questions of Glenn LaJoy before we close this item? We're all going to read that report. General Manager Tammy, do you have any comments?
No, that's it. Just direction? To ensure that people use the P.O. box for Bob's address or okay. To get that information. Certainly they can hand deliver it, and Bob's absolutely right. If they get it in by FedEx or Express Mail, they can use our street address of 1316 Tamsin and Suite 201 in Cambria. And then to direct questions to Bob Gressens.
Okay. And Glenn, do you have any final comments? Or I think
you know, before he does walk out, I had the pleasure of meeting with him last evening, and some information that I learned from Glenn just briefly is that he has worked for this community for over 20 years. I did not know that. As your general manager for the past 4 years and formerly, you know, as your assistant general manager, he's been through this process already once. So he's actually been around longer than any of you. I mean, as far as your service to this community, maybe close
so
to
young.
Peter. So he's been around. He's not a new kid on a block. He's extremely experienced. And I just want to say, you know, as your leader of this organization, that I'm happy that we have him working with us on the CEQA process. So thanks, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn. And truly an historic moment for us. And we're looking forward to bringing it to some culmination in the next days, in the dates you've laid out. Thank you very much. Any other comments? Then we'll move on with the agenda. It takes us back to General Manager's report, I believe.
Yes, thank you. You'll notice on the agenda this month and through our agenda review process with the Executive Committee that we've changed up just a little bit of how we're going to present staff reports in the future. you are all there's a prepared report from each one of the departments, and what we're going to do from this point forward, it's not necessarily shown here except if there's maybe not an item that they have on the agenda. They can be more resourceful doing something within the community or are on their jobs. So we're going to try to expedite the reports each month so the meetings maybe don't drag on as long as they have been. I certainly have expressed this, and staff and I have talked about it. It's by no means derogatory to them. They are excellent at what they do, and you can tell that even by their reports. So I'm just going to take tidbits to just publicize and to deliver those messages. So the way it looks this month is not the way it might look next month. We'll refine the way the report is presented to you, but I'm just going to deliver just little items, bits and pieces here. And just for the public's information, and I think you're all aware, Brian Bode is now full-time assistant general manager in the administrative offices, thank goodness. And I'm proud of him, and I'm appreciative of the efforts and the assignments that we have before us with your very lofty goals and objectives this year. And so we're happy to have him as part of that. He certainly has competent staffers in the utilities department, Mike Kirkendall in wastewater and Jim Adams in water, and the staff that the two of them work with. So he's now located there in the admin office, and he will be taking over a lot of the day-to-day, and has already done so. He works with the really good staff there in the admin office. So that's my little tete-a-tete with Brian. So we're really happy to have that going
Welcome,
on.
Brian.
Yeah. He doesn't know if congratulations is probably the way to put it, but at this time anyway. I was going to first mention that President Coben and I attended the AWCA conference last week in Washington, D.C., as did several meetings that we were present at, mainly so that we were able to submit an appropriations request for the next federal year, which begins October 1st of this year. We met with Representative and Senator Boxer's office, Senator Feinstein's office. We met with the Senate Committee on Appropriations staffer, Roger Cockrell. We actually met with Lois Capps, Congresswoman Lois Capps, and she was very, very up to date on the project. And Jonathan Leventis is a really good staff member, as is Greg Hawes, and so they have really kept her in the loop. We met with Corps of Engineers representatives at the D.C. office, Otta Benavides, and the two Kens, which are Ken Zwickel and Ken Turner, and mostly just to continue to keep faces with names. I think we heard earlier that from Greg Hawes, we really have to keep Cambria on the forefront so they don't forget us. We are a very small project and a huge federal budget. And the best thing is that it's already had program funds assigned to it, so it's not a new start. And so our opportunities for potential future funding are better than others. Congresswoman Capps' projects, because most of them are with the Corps of Engineers and along the California coast, are usually very successful in getting appropriations. So we're going to continue to follow and keep on track with keeping Cambria out in the forefront and getting the funding that's necessary so that we can minimize any impact on any future rate recommendations and continue to use the federal funds and the Corps of Engineers as we move forward so that we're successful partners in the construction of the desal plant. And I didn't know if you wanted to add anything, Joan.
It was hard to keep up with because Tammy was doing her work back home all the meantime, and I kept saying, let's have fun here. And she's saying, no, I've got to do my emails. People at home are demanding time. So it was lonely.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. And then I wanted to tell you that I have had two brown baguette sessions, and these are the announcements that I made and the commitment to you and the community that I would meet as the general manager with constituents who are interested in having candid conversation and discussions about the CCSD organization. I decided on a lunchtime venue mainly because I have many commitments for the district after hours or late in the afternoon. So I've had two of those, February 21st and March 3rd from noon to 2. We have two more for next Tuesday, March 11th, and then the following Monday, March 17th from noon to 2. I have had, there were five constituents at the first one and then five entirely different constituents last week, and it was a different group of people. I'm willing to continue to have these in these next couple of sessions. They've been productive. The one last week was extremely productive. I was able to meet some new people that I did not know who were genuinely interested in the organization and some of the issues with regard to how we lead it and operate it. And so I'm continuing to encourage people to come. It's me. I eat my lunch literally through that time period. I welcome them to bring their sandwich or whatever they want. And as long as they're productive, and there's by no means any level of contention that is not controllable, I will continue to have them. For right now, these are successful. People have asked me about continuing to have them, and I'll just look at calendaring and scheduling and seeing if it will be appropriate. What I do leave each one of these sessions with is that I have a calendar, and I have a wonderful staff who will put anyone on my calendar to meet with me. So you can do it one-on-one with them, actually picking it up right at the end of your driveway. For fall, the dates will be September 15th through 19th. So that's just a heads up so people can calendar those dates. Is Gail or anybody from PROS Commission here to make a report? Oh, good. Jeff Miller. And while he's walking up to the podium, just for public's information, the next PROS Commission meeting will be on April 1st at 10 o'clock in Suite 204. Jeff?
Madam President and directors, Gail Robinette, our 2008 chair, could not be here today, so she asked me to bring you up to date on a few items. Back on February 23rd, two of our commissioners, one of the CCSD staff as well as President Coben, attended the Slo Capra workshop up at Hearst Castle. Slo Capra is the San Luis Obispo County Association of Park and Rec Administrators, and we have an annual workshop. We had two great presentations. One was a presentation about combating obesity, which has just become a giant nationwide problem, something we will be addressing through Parks and Rec. The second large presentation was the Child's Bill of Rights. It has become a state proclamation signed by the governor recently, and various counties are adopting them to give children the incentive and the right to continue to enjoy parks, recreation, open space, and the outdoors, and you know, what finer place to do that than here in Cambria. At our last meeting on March 4th, each one of our commissioners and their respective committees reported on our 2007 accomplishments, as well as starting on our 2008 short-term goals. And piggybacking on that, on your last meeting where you adopted your goals, part of your goals was to have us complete a 2009-2010 long-range plan, which we have started that. And two of our commissioners, Mike Thompson and Steve Niffen, will be giving a presentation about our accomplishments and some of our short-term goals at the town hall meeting next week. Let's see, what else? I hate to bring up EIR subject, but the Fiscalini Ranch EIR was released to the public this past Monday on the 3rd. Again, it has a 45-day window, which I believe corresponds to April 17th. And
website, so at the same place and the same homepage that you see the Water Master Plan EIR, you're going to see the draft EIR for the Fiscalini Ranch Preserve. And the comment periods end April 17th. Now, those comments go to Connie Davidson, same address. You'll find that information within the report and on our website. That public hearing that Jeff mentioned is going to be here at Vets Hall on March 18th. From the logistics are that there will first be the West Ranch discussion from 5 to 6, and then for the rest of the time period, 6 to 9, it will be on the East Ranch and specifically the project description for the community park. So that information is all contained. In fact, I printed it straight off the website before I came here today. Under finance department, we reported last month about the LAIF balance. And just for information, that balance right now is just a little roughly over $5 million. And Alan Labossier provided us with information with regard to the safety. And while LAIF's interest has dropped about 0.5%, it's still about 2% higher than the T-bill. So he's done that research. I feel very confident that we're going to continue to watch that rate of interest and the rate of return on our money, and we feel very confident that it is safe within the LAIF fund, and Alan does it on a daily basis. So I just wanted to highlight that out of his report. Under the fire department's report, and Chief Putney, he's out of town this week, and Mark will be here later to present the report under the public hearing. There were three structure fires, and two of them involved chimney fires, and one was a hot water fire, but the chief likes to take the opportunity, as do, I'm certain, the rest of the staff at the fire department, to please remind our customers and our friends and family members to have their chimneys inspected and cleaned at least twice a year, and more so if you use it more often. He is working with his colleagues and others on the draft defensible space ordinance, and he anticipates submitting a draft ordinance to you all in March. He will be working with the Forest Committee before that comes back to you, and then just to make the announcement that we will be proceeding this year with our fuel hazard fire reduction program. We did receive a grant, and we got the equipment for the $4,000 worth of San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department grant. It was personal and communications equipment for the CERT team, and so that has been received. And then also there has been another CERT training course that was completed in February, and right now that brings to total over 100 active members, and actually 200 members have gone through the CERT program. So we really do appreciate, and I know the chief and Mark and others in the department appreciate the opportunity to be able to work with those volunteers.
On the basis of it's something we may need to know for our own safety.
The hot water heater fire was basically a condition where there was lint and stuff that got down into the venting for the hot water heater. Small fire was out on arrival. I guess the lesson learned there would be, you know, you need to check anything that has an open flame, whether it be your wood stove, you know, anything that heats needs to be checked on a regular basis, your furnace. You know, those things need to be maintained. So if you have a water heater in an outdoor closet, it might be easier to forget about it. It's a good idea to take a look and make sure that there isn't any buildup of bird nests or, you know, debris in the area.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah.
I have a question. Have you finished with Alan's report?
Yes.
The other day, I don't ask me where I found the time, but I was actually listening to the Board of Supervisors, and they were receiving a presentation from, I guess, one of their legislative analysts. And apparently, Sacramento, in its wisdom, has decided to transfer responsibility of monitoring parolees from the state agency down to the county. So it's going to require the counties of this state to fund parolees supervision and monitor parolees. Before, it used to be an exclusively state function, and you would think it should be, given that parole is a state agency. Not only has apparently, and I say apparently because at home I'm not always at full alacrity. Sometimes I'm a little bourboned out, but or scotch, whatever my mood. But it sounds like that not only have they transferred responsibility, so now the county has been instructed and mandated, apparently, to seek funding sources to monitor parolees, which apparently can be into the millions per year. And the number one recommended source for consider where are we going to fund these, and they have a recommended course of action to come to us, among others.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I was in Washington, D.C. last week when I got that announcement from the Association of California Water Agencies, and they were asking us to obviously make our lobbying efforts to our Assemblyman Sam Blakesley and to Senator Maldonado, which I did from afar. And what I did with staff is let them know, because they're coining it almost as another ERAF attack, and that's the way I see it. And the perception is that, and this is the report from AQUA, and also from California Special Districts Association. All of us are lobbying against it, and because the idea was it's easy for districts to raise rates. So what I was able to do with the liberty of having just gone through the Proposition 218 process was not only to inform Sam Blakesley and Abel Maldonado of what we've been paying out in ERAF adjustments. This last year, as I recall, it was $900,000. By the way, I put copies of those letters in your box, so you have those, and I believe Kathy Choate sent them electronically to you while I was out of the office. But I also mentioned how not so simple Proposition 218 is for us to raise rates in order to provide the funding for any potential county effort. Now, I am following that very closely, and I am following up on it because what I just learned a couple of days ago is that potentially they may be looking again at our state controller's report, where the majority of our money is used for public safety. Even though they're looking at water and wastewater funds and fees, we're going to get some clarity or seek some clarity whether we're even going to be in the loop because of the way we report not just the property taxes, but the water and wastewater availability, how that's used for CIP and not necessarily operations. But I guarantee you I'm going to stay on top of it. We cannot afford it here. And we're going to work closely with the two agencies that we're involved in and ensure that our dollars are protected and they stay here in Cambria.
Are we bending Supervisor Gibson's ear in this issue?
You know, now that you've mentioned that it's come up during the county, I will make an effort to make contact with them and find out who the person is that I need to be in touch with so that we ensure that whatever they do at a county level, we're involved in it, or we at least are informed about it.
And I will be happy to give a little bit more of my time on this issue because I know something about parolees and that kind of stuff. In fact, if they don't behave, I may send some of my parolee clients over to take care of business.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. That's a good topic.
I mean, yeah, just going from what Elon said, the ERAF bite of our...
And interestingly here, which I agree with Director Funky Bilu, is where is the nexus? And that was the question I asked of the Assemblyman and the Senator, is where's the nexus to taking care of parolees to water funds and wastewater funds? And I don't get it. So I'm going to continue to be vocal about it and protect every little penny that we have so that we don't see it, or I don't have to add that to a Prop 218 process when there are too many much-needed capital improvement projects that far, you know, exceed that.
The only nexus, the best nexus they'll be able to show is where the parolees reside within the county, and I suspect most of them reside south and east of Cambria. So I don't know if there's, it shouldn't be that hard to find out since it's public record monitored by the state parole agency, if you can locate how many parolees exactly live in this county, in this community. I suspect not that many, probably a handful. And that would be a very powerful argument, seems to me, to provide to Supervisor Gibson, to provide his colleagues as to why they shouldn't come after us for that kind of revenue source.
But I'm sure the counter-argument is they looked at all the unincorporated areas, which I'm sure has a large number of parolees, because you can sort of go undercover there.
I bet there's more parolees in the incorporated areas.
Okay. I bet there is, too.
This is a state effort, at any rate.
It's a state effort at looking at ways. Yeah, they're trying to reach out and get closer to us. Okay, thank you. Moving on to utilities, just to mention that the well fields are full. They'll remain that way, as Brian's reported, until May, and that's if we get some good rains at the end of April. We should have a good year, and the well operations are clearly back to normal winter operation schedules, and both of the creeks are flowing to the ocean. You'll see many of the pictures that Brian included within his report. From Mike with regard to the biosolids dewatering project. It's come a long way. Certainly if anyone is interested in going out there and seeing it, they can contact Mike. So those forms have been poured and constructed. The steel's set. It's obviously the concrete's set by now because he mentions that it should be set by today's meeting. And then now we're in the process of preparing to set the screw press. So that's some success there. The Warren Pipeline project is complete. And the pipe's in the ground. And that was it out of utilities.
And by the way, Brian, I noticed the black and white pictures, and frankly, I prefer it. I think it's cheaper, more green, even though it's black and white.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I want to watch Brian getting screwed, but.
So Brian Zardy reported on the water, Bob, on the Water Master Plan EIRS was earlier reported by Glenn LaJoy. There's about a week's worth of final work by CBI on the Pine Knolls tank replacement, and we'll be working here soon for a ribbon cutting or a grand opening of that project. We have also been working with getting some program funds back into the DSAL or the Geotech project with the Army Corps. And as I reported earlier, Bob Gressens is to be commended, as well as working with another government affairs consultant for getting that appropriations request for $2 million in on time by last Friday to Senators Boxer and Feinstein. RBF, you know, just with regard to the rodeo grounds pump station and the Stewart Street, that's kind of just taking a little bit of a back burner right now as we concentrate on this water master plan ER, gotten it finished, and now we're moving forward with our constraints analysis and new coastal development permit with regard to the geotech. But it's still out there. There's been work done by the RBF group, and we're just now going to be timing it based on funding availability. The good news about the Moonstone Beach Drive Bridge Replacement Project is that through some diligent efforts of Bob Gressens and Kathy Choate for doing some research, we found some records and we were able to work closely with the Caltrans local office to get the project grant funded. And so what that means is, and that's news that Paavo Ogren and Dave Flynn were anxious to let us know about, although we had the communication directly from Caltrans, is that a project that we've estimated to relocate those pipes under the Leffingwell Bridge for water and sewer, which are main lines into our system, instead of it costing the district $400,000 to $500,000, it will go under this federally funded project that will be covered 88%. So we'll be looking at about a 12%. So we owe a lot to BG, and then the way that he worked with Kathy, and they got these documents so that it showed that the project or the pipes were previously owned by the county, and there was the nexus, so get it funded, it got done. It was a real coup, and it didn't take a whole long time, which is a little unusual. So good work, Bob. And then the Cambria Flood Control Project has been suitably noticed in the paper and very active, getting started on March 17th, weather permitting, and there is ongoing coordination that the county staff is working with us on. So that's it.
Do we know a date on Leffingwell yet?
Is there a start date yet for, isn't it June?
They do want to start bidding that probably within the next month. I also like to add, too, that I think a lot of credit goes to the local Caltrans assistance office for their help. So I think we really appreciate their efforts on that.
Well, thank you, Tammy. That was great.
Question. Madam President, back on fire for a moment. I heard you mention the work on the defensible space ordinance and the fuel hazard fire reduction program in two separate breaths, and for my 2 cents worth, they're inseparable. I can't see this board going forward with the fuel hazard fire reduction program in 2008 without first having considered the defensible space ordinance. We have got to get that back to the board as soon as possible.
Any other comments or questions for the general manager? I wanted to say that I've received two requests to speak, but there isn't a public comment effort for reports. Those are just reports to the board. So thank you very much.
Could I just clarify with the finance manager, does he monitor LAIF on a daily basis? Is that
yes, he does.
Okay. So if anything was to happen, that information would get to us pretty fast.
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Okay. Another sort of new segment, or not so much new, but we're going to really each month have the each director report on the committees that they're on, so you'll see them listed on your agenda. The first one is the Executive Finance Committee. That's Greg and I sit on that, and that's a standing committee. Do you have any comments?
I don't. Madam President, I think the general manager covered everything there is to cover.
Okay. All right. And we'll be meeting on Monday. The Finance Committee will be meeting on Monday, and we'll have more to say. The Litigation Advisory Committee, I don't know that there's any. Is anything, Elon, to that?
You still want to sue Greg?
Each other.
All right.
One lawyer in a small town will starve. Two will do just fine.
The build-out reduction committee, I believe that there isn't, that hasn't been any, that's you and I, Greg, no new, nothing new to say.
Nothing new to report today.
Okay. And then the co-location project that Peter here.
Madam Chair, might I add that I think we're fortunate to have Merle on board because he chaired the Emergency Medical Service Committee that the Healthcare District and the CCSD put together. Merle has a whole lot of expertise that he acquired in this particular field, and with his indulgence, I think I'm going to recommend that he take my place on that committee. I think he's far better equipped to handle that than I.
Welcome aboard, Merle.
I thought I was going to slide by there for a while too. You know, no, I'd be happy. I'd be happy to sit on that.
I think it's Mondays.
It's whenever it's called.
Yeah, we're scheduling them now as needed. Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I was going to say, we talked about working together. The fire department now has emergency equipment on board the fire truck, so that if there's a paramedic on board, that equipment can be used. Oh, you want to go into it in more detail, but that's just one of the sort of side benefits of us working together.
Well, it was a temporary situation, and it's now permanent. So okay. It's advanced life support, or basic life support, I'm sorry, and it's still working. It's still going forward. Yeah. So, Mark, anything else to add?
Yeah, at the current time, we have two shifts that are covered with paramedics. It's not a full-time thing. We have two medics on a department, and those are split up on two separate shifts. So two-thirds of the time, we have a medic engine, which is a big deal if the ambulance is out of position or involved with the transport, then you have a backup medic in town still.
And on board, you've got equipment that you didn't have before.
Correct. Yeah, they have the full capability of performing as a medic would with the ambulance.
And you'll see those statistics within the report that the chiefs, you know, produced. Yeah. That down at the bottom, it talks about how many ALS response calls are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a common sense thing which took a long time to put together, but it's common sense to the public and to us.
To public agencies, yeah. As Shirley told us before, that government agencies work slowly but steadily.
Yeah.
Thank you both for that, and thank you, Merle, for accepting that assignment. The Utilities Committee, that's Greg and Peter. Any update on that?
I don't think there's anything further to report other than what the general manager has given us tonight.
We're moving along with the request the Coastal Commission asked of us,